June 11th, 2006, Los Angeles, at a speech town.
Namo Mahabhadanyay Krishna Prema Prajate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Gurave Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadaya Krishna Krishna Bhaktaya Anamaktaya Tavai Vasmi Tavai Vasmi My koti koti dandat pranam in the lotus of his outline. His spiritual master, Nitya Lila Pravishth, Ashoka Sakshi Madhavati Pradhyam Keshavya Sainam. Examine the Lord state of my Sikha Guru, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam, the Lord state of Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj. I'm very happy that you are assembled here, and perhaps most of you will go to Vegas 7 days classes. So I'm very happy. As I told you that I have come to remind you of Manjari's sang a song, Sakala Sahiba. What? I will tolerate everything. And I will do one point. Not only singing will do, but to follow. What we are singing, that Prabhu song, there are one pointed Radha Madhava. After the departure of Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, the disciples, so many, they left. They can very be chanting sometimes one time or not. Today I saw in walking, but they had left everything, no sign, no country mala, no tilak, nothing. I requested them to come. But my request, that I have come to remind them that you should try to follow, actually. Life is short. So I was telling yesterday, Usaha Nishchaya. So much enthusiasm. Not like in laziness. Nishchaya. If Dhruva Prahlad, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, others, they have obtained Prajapati. Why not I? This asa should be hope and form.
Form faith.
Pratat karma pravartana. And what they have given teachings to us, we should form. Sagatyaga means those who are not favorable for bhakti, their association should be strongly rejected. You should follow all these things. And then you will see if you have tolerance. Actually, chanting one leg in quality. And then you see, very soon Krishna Prem will come. Yesterday, also wanted to tell you, Vishnai Subhava Janitai Vapusascha Dosai. If a devotee, by nature, is blind, did fear there, Abhiru, or by nature he is somewhat angry, anger, don't criticize, because he is one pointed to Krishna. Rishi Abhiram Goswami, he has a stick, and to whom he wanted to be merciful, he used to. And Krishna friend used to come. Sometimes Narada becomes angry by the behavior of Nal Kubar and Manigri, but their anger is also what? Benediction. So don't criticize them even. If we have no taste in hearing, in chanting name, in the service of Krishna, in cooking, again and again you should do chant. By this chanting, by hearing again and again, sometimes it becomes that you are hearing and sleeping comes. No, be seated there. And after some time, all will go away. Laziness will go away. Sleepiness will go away. Then, tannāma-rūpa-charitādi sukriptanānu kramena rasana manasi niyojya tisthan praje tadānu rāgi janānu gāmi kāmu nai rakhilāme tyupadeshār. Rupa Goswami is telling the essence of all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be situated in Vrindavan and there shaking, remembering the sweet pastimes of Krishna and the same name by Tan Kirtan. Like Govinda
Dharamaravedi, Govinda
Dharamaravedi. And remember what? How Mother Yashoda with love and affection she taken Krishna, whose up, down, middle, outside, nothing is there. Endless. Whole world is in his stomach, yet Mother Yashoda. So remembering all these sweet pastimes, if you are doing Ras Bihari, then all remember Ras Bihari. Being the guidance of bona fide Guru Vaishnava in the line of Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Bono Thakur was in Swananda Sukhat Kanja, where this song. Oh, always to do like this. He used to follow and then write. He used to do first in his career and then to write. Whole night in the daytime he used to go to court. This is in writing. Everything. And in the night, whole night waiting, chanting, waiting. Sometimes in Astakalya Lila, it used to be like woman dress and something cooking for Radha and Krishna. Thus they passed whole night. This would be like that. Annam Rupa Chaitadi Sukhantaranam Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya Tishthan Braje. Will have to be in Vrindavan. But if you are not Vrindavan, you cannot, then where you are? Meditate that I am in Vrindavan. Jamuna is flowing very gently. Water is very pure. Both sides. Peri, chameli, duim, lotus, and so many flowers are there. Bees are hanging. Kapus are singing. In this way, you should think that I am in that Vrindavan. And then, in the guidance of Vajramayas, Guru or Vaishnava or anyone Vaishnava in the line of Lord Krishna. This is the essence of all devices. If you want to do bhajan, you will have to follow Prahlad Maharaj. His father was so angry and doing very what he has here, cruel behavior. But always he was sweet. Never he became upset. Always like that. So you have to follow. You can hear his teachings and his life. You should try to keep it in your pocket, all the teaching, and follow. Never leave it. And especially for the devotees of Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, they should never leave it. They should think that Swamiji, my Guruji, is in my heart. Like having titi, mala, everything should be there. On positive Guru Mantra and
Lord. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanam Janashadakaya Shakshurunvidikam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. First of all, I'm offering my humble Nandavatta Rams, the lotus feet of my beloved Deeksha Gurudev, Yantalila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad Astavakara Sata Shri Srimad Isti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. And secondly, I'm offering my equal Dhamyavad Pranams and my Shraddha Pushpanjali to the lotus feet of my beloved Sikha Gurus. Om Vishnu Pad Astavakara Sata Shri Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, who we have the unlimited good fortune to be in the presence of this evening, and to also into Lila Prabhishna Om Vishnu Pad Shishila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, to all my Rupanuga Guru Varga, and to all of the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, friends and guests assembled here this evening. Srila Gurudev has ordered me to narrate the history of the life, character, and teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, which is narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. I may request all persons who have mobile phones here in the room to please turn them on. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations about the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. It is a great literature from 5,000 years ago, spoken by Sri Sukadeva Goswami to a very great king named Maharaj Parikit. And in that narration of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very famous pastimes of the Supreme Lord, along with his pure devotees, are given, so that we, the conditioned souls in this material world, may come to understand what kind of pathway we will have to follow in our lives. Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, has just told us how we should follow Prahlad Maharaj by the qualities that he exhibited of very great tolerance, even though he was being heavily provoked by his cruel father, Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, he was a very, very powerful demon, asura, in Sanskrit language called asura, those who are opposed to God, to the Supreme Lord. They're atheists, and they want to actually extinguish the existence of the Supreme. They themselves, they want to become Supreme. So Hiranyakashipu was such a powerful materialist with such strong desire that actually he wanted to gain benedictions that he could become immortal and he could gain the greatest power in our universe. Hiranyakashipu then, he went to one secluded place. He began to perform very severe austerities and penances. And he performed these actually for many hundreds of years. In that time period, this was previous Yuga, thousands and millions of years before this history is narrated. And he was able to perform this austerity standing on the tips of his toes with his arms upraised and enduring heat, cold, rain, and all kinds of material elements. In fact, even his material body, it is described, was being eaten by ants as he was standing there, but he stood there with great tolerance. So by and by his austerities, great power started to come to him. And in fact, our universe, the higher beings in our universe began to feel tremendous difficulty on account of his great power that he was acquiring. So the creator of this universe, or we should say the sub-creator, Lord Brahma, he descended there. And at that time, when he saw Hiranyakashipu's form, which actually had become practically nothing but a skeleton, but because he was so powerful, he was keeping his life within the bones of his body. So Lord Brahma, he came and sprinkled some water on his head. Lord Brahma is very powerful. And then immediately, Hiranyakashipu was transformed with a very, very beautiful, young, and powerful body. At that time, Hiranyakashipu fell to the feet of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma asked him, "What kind of benediction would you now want?" So Hiranyakashipu told, "Oh, I want that I can become immortal, that I will never have to die." So Lord Brahma, he replied, "That is not possible for me to give you such a benediction, because even I myself, although I live longer than anyone in this entire universe for billions and trillions of years, but even at one point I must also die, so I cannot give you that benediction." So then Hiranyakashipu thought very intelligently that he would request other benedictions, and he started to request, "All right, then give me the benediction that I cannot be killed on the land, on the sea, or in the air." So Lord Brahma gave, "Okay, that is, I can give you that benediction." "Oh, very good. Give me the benediction that I cannot be killed by any man or any beast." "Yes, I can give you that benediction." "Give me the benediction that I cannot be killed by any man-made weapon." "Yes, I can give you that benediction." "Give me the benediction that I cannot be killed in the day or in the night." "Yes, so be it. Now you may have." So in this way, Hiranyakashipu began requesting all these different... Oh yes, and also any of the creatures in this universe that have been created by you, that I cannot die by their hand. So then Lord Brahma also gave him that benediction. Then Hiranyakashipu thought, "Now I have outsmarted any possibility of me dying." So then he raised his arms in the air and he declared, "Now I have become immortal." So Hiranyakashipu, at that time, he proceeded to conquer the universe with his great strength and power. And all the higher beings of the universe, the demigods who are the sub-controllers of nature in this universe, they began to flee here and there out of fear. And even the king of heaven, Lord Indra, he also made his exit from his palace. And now his throne was empty, and Hiranyakashipu came there, and he occupied the throne of the king of heaven, Lord Indra. And with his power, he began to control all the forces of nature that Lord Indra was controlling, such as the rain, even the sun and the moon, even time, even the karma of the living entities was being controlled by him. And he reversed the effects of karma. He said that if a person does good activities, then he'll get a bad result. And if a person does bad activities, he'll get very good results. So even he was controlling the laws of karma. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu, now he established his kingdom. And he began to rule, and he assembled so many demoniac friends and family members, and he began to live there in his kingdom, simply enjoying sense gratification. Night and day, day and night, he was indulging in eating, drinking, and being merry. The motto of the materialistic person. And actually, he was completely delighting in nothing but sense gratification, because he considered this to be the ultimate goal of life. So now, Hiranyakashipu, actually he had two sons, and one of them was a very extraordinary son. Although he was only 5 years old, this young boy was actually a fully God-conscious personality, a pure devotee of Krishna. From the time that he was in the womb of his mother, he was given the benediction by a very great devotee, Narada. The story is that while Hiranyakashipu was doing his austerities, the demigods began to think that the wife of Hiranyakashipu had a child in her womb. And if that child takes birth, this will create even more difficulty for us, because he will be a great demon. So they went to the palace of Hiranyakashipu and snatched that lady from that place. And they started taking her away. But at that time, a very great spiritual master of our universe, Sri Narad Muni, he came there and he stopped them. And he told them, "No, no, you are mistaken. This child in the womb of this woman is not a great demon. He is actually a very great devotee." And Narada Rishi took her to his own ashram, where he gave her shelter. And during that time, for that long period of time, now Narada Muni began to narrate the transcendental Harikatha narrations about the Supreme Lord. And the child in the womb was hearing this. So, although he was just a tiny young boy, because Prahlad Maharaj had heard these transcendental instructions in the womb of his mother, now Prahlad Maharaj, he emerged from the womb a fully God-conscious personality, fully self-realized soul. So he was sent to school by his father. He was only 5 years old. And now, while he was in school, he was there with all of his classmates who were the sons of other demons. And he was being taught all of the ordinary materialistic knowledge of this world, diplomacy, how to rule, how to conquer, how to control by politics, and all of this. So now, one day, when Hiranyakashipu was sitting on his throne, his young son came there, and he was nicely dressed and everything by his mother, and he was presented to his father, Hiranyakashipu. So then at that time, his father saw his young boy and he became overwhelmed with affection. And now he brought his son onto his lap. And he began to caress his son. And now, just as any father will ask his child when he began to going to school, what did you learn in school? So he was asking his son, "My dear son Prahlad, please tell me, of all the things that you have now learned in school, please tell me, what is the best of all those teachings?" So now Prahlad Maharaj, he looked at his father with great respect and folded palms. He told his father, "O Asura Varya, O the best amongst the demons, He said, Tat sadhu manye asurabharya dehinam sada samudvignadiya asat grahat hitvatma patam griham andakupam gatovanam yad dharim ashrayeta. Oh my dear king of the demons, he didn't call him my dear father. He said, Tat sadhu manye, I think the best thing that I have learned is that asuryavarya dehinam, those persons who are in this material world, dehinam means that they are embodied within this temporary gross material body made of nothing but skin, bones, blood, etc. So those persons who are in this predicament within this world, they are certainly always disturbed. Sada samud vignadiya. They are constantly disturbed by so many anxieties. Why? Because asatgraha. They have accepted this temporary material world as all in all. And they think that there is no other purpose in life except to become happy physically and enjoy sense gratification. So the best thing that I have learned, my dear father, is that such persons who are like yourself, they should immediately hit vatma patam griham anda kupam. This material household life in this world, this life of attachment to the temporary things of this world, it is called atma patam. It is the place where the soul is killed. It is like having fallen into a deep, dark well. Just like if a person is walking through a forest, and he is walking very peacefully and happily, and suddenly he hears a roaring sound in the forest. And he turns around and he looks, and there he sees a tiger, a huge tiger looking at him. And the tiger, he now starts going toward the man, and the man immediately realizes that he has no other alternative but to begin running as fast as he possibly can from the tiger. And now he's running and running, and the tiger is chasing after him. And suddenly the man is looking where he can go, and he sees that just ahead of him is a hole in the ground. It was formerly a well, but now it's dried up. So he sees that there are two branches of a tree hanging over this well, and he decides, this place I can find safety. And he grabs a hold of these two branches. He begins to lower himself down into the well. And as he's lowering himself down into the well, suddenly the face of the tiger comes up at the top of the well, and he looks down at him very hungrily. Now he's looking up at the tiger. He's holding onto these two branches. And he's looking below him. And there he sees that the bottom of the well, it has hissing snakes. Poisonous snakes, and they're all trying to bite his feet. So now he realizes, what kind of situation I'm in? What can I do? What can I do? I'm hanging here. I cannot go up. I cannot go down. But then he also notices something else. On both of these two branches, there's two different rats. One rat is white color, one rat is black color, and both of them, they're eating the branch. So he says, oh no, what to do now? Even though I'm in a somewhat safe position, I can't stay here. Because eventually I'm going to fall down into the well. And now, he notices one other thing. Just on one of those branches, there's a very beautiful nest for the hive. So he notices that some of the honey, it is oozing out of this beehive, and it is rolling down one of the branches, and a few drops of this honey happens to be falling directly in front of his face as he's hanging there. And now he looks at the honey and he sees, oh, I want some of this honey. And then he begins to extend his tongue out to somehow or other catch the honey on the tip of his tongue. And he manages to catch one drop of the honey. And then he says, oh, how sweet. So this man, He's in this predicament, yet he's thinking, I'm going to enjoy the sweet taste of this honey. So, actually, this predicament described by Prahlad Maharaj is every situation of each one of us sitting in this room, and every single person on this planet, and every single person in this universe. Because this is the situation. That tiger is death personified, chasing us. All of us are being chased by the tiger of death. We don't know when that tiger is going to catch up with us and devour us. And in the meantime, we see that we can find some kind of shelter and safety hanging on to these two branches. We're hanging on to these two branches thinking that this will keep me safe. Just like a man in this material world thinks, if I surround myself by my friends, by my family members, by my society, by my bank balance, by my Mercedes Benz, by all of these objects of this world, oh, then I'm safe and I'm successful. But he doesn't realize that constantly his life is passing by, because those two branches that he's holding on to, they represent day and night. The two rats, white and black, represent day and night. And they're gnawing away at the branch. So gradually, he's going down. But in the midst of all this, at below the pit, there are the constant miseries of this material world. Birth, death, disease, and old age. And all the three miseries of this world. The miseries coming from our bodies and minds. Anxiety, suffering of our bodies and minds. Miseries caused by other living beings in this world. Miseries caused by nature. And in this way, just like the snakes are biting from below, we are constantly being bitten by the miseries of this world. But yet, we think that this few drops of honey, that this will make me forget my whole situation. Just like this man took this drop of honey, and suddenly he forgot that he's in this predicament for a few moments. But what is that honey? That is the so-called love and affection of those persons in this world who we consider to be our own. But actually, are they our own? Not really, because every one of us is an eternal soul. Our temporary bodies and identities in this world are just passing dreams. And it's just like, for example, two pieces of straw that are floating on the waves of this ocean here. They may sometimes float together, and they'll float for some time, and another wave will come, and they'll be separated, and they'll never come together again. So all of us in this world, we are floating on the waves of this material vast ocean of existence. And we do not know when our lives are going to end. It is all a temporary situation. Yet we think we can be happy by establishing ourselves in this false material world. So Prahlad Maharaj, he told his father, Hiranyakashipu, "Hit vatmapatam griham andakupam." One should give up this griham anda. That means this blind well of this materialistic life, of family life in this world. He should at once give it up because it's killing the soul. The soul will be killed by this because he'll be forced to take more births and deaths in this world. And what should he do? Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. He should immediately go to the vana. Vana, this means the forest. But what kind of forest? This means the place where the Supreme Lord Krishna is there eternally living, as Srila Gurudev just told us. Tishtam braje. We should live in Braja. We should live in the transcendental forest of Vrindavan. If we cannot physically go there, at least within our mind and heart, we should live there. And Dharim Ashrayeta. We should take full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. So, when Prahlad Maharaj told his father that this was the best thing that he had learned in school, his father became very surprised. And a smile came on his face. And he thought, what is this? Our enemy, the servants of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, they have infiltrated somehow. Just see how they can contaminate the minds of our young, innocent children. So then he began to instruct the teachers. He said, you should guard against this. How did you allow this? You should guard against this. Take him and educate him properly. And in this way, he'll turn into a proper demon of our dynasty, who can properly represent our dynasty. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu, He told them to take his son Prahlad back to school. So for some time they brought him back to school. And Prahlad Maharaj, while he was there in the school, he began to also learn so many political and economics and sociology and all of the mundane knowledge of this world. And he was educated for some time by his teachers. Then after a short while, his teachers again brought him to his father one day. And again, his father brought him onto his lap, and with tears in his father's eyes, he again asked his son Prahlad, "Now Prahlad, please tell me, what have you been learning now in school? What have you been learning?" So Prahlad Maharaj again folded his palms and he looked at his father. And he said to his father, "Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu, smaranam padasevanam, archanam vandanam dasyam, sakyam atma nivedanam, iti pum sarvika Vishnu, bhaktishchen avalakshana, kriyeta bhagavat yadha, tanmanye aditam uttamam." Oh my dear father, I understand that the person who is the best person in all of human society, he is Uttam. He is the topmost intelligent person in human society. He is the person that will engage his full energies, his full life, in doing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. This means hearing about Krishna, chanting his holy names, Smaranam, constantly remembering him, Archanam, worshipping the Supreme Lord, like in the temple, Vandanam, offering prayers, Dasyam, serving him constantly, Padasevanam, doing so many services to the Lord, Sakyam, becoming a friend of the Lord, and Atmanivedanam, surrendering one's whole life and soul, everything that one possesses, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is called bhakti. This is called pure devotion. So Prahlad Maharaj told his father this, and his father became very surprised. And his father began to challenge him. Where did you learn this? How did you understand this kind of knowledge? And now he began to chastise the teachers who were there. And he told the teachers, "And how have you now, I told you that you should protect him. You've allowed him to, again, become contaminated by the enemy." And the teachers began to say, "No, no, we have no part in this. This knowledge is self-learned by him somehow or other. He knows all these things." And then Hiranyakashipu, he was looking at his son, and Prahlad Maharaj continued to speak to his father. And he began to tell him that Nate vidu svartagatim hi vishnu dharashayaye mahirarkamanina andhayatam gayar upaniyamanam tepishatamva urdham nibadha. He said that the materialists of this world, they don't know. Nate vidu svartagatim hi vishnu. They do not understand that the purpose of their life is to surrender and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. They're constantly living with false hopes that they can enjoy this world, this temporary world, which is so illusory. And they're constantly subdued by the persons in this world who are also blind. They don't know what is the reality of life, but they follow political leaders who have no spiritual knowledge. They follow all kinds of teachers. They follow parents. They follow all kinds of superior personalities, but they themselves are blind. Andayatandaya upaniyamana. So when a blind person leads another blind person along the roadside, what happens? They both fall into a ditch. So in this way, the conditioned soul of this world is constantly bound around his waist by all of the controlling elements of nature, that he is forced to grow old. He is forced to suffer in this world. So then he told him,
Matirna अदांत गोपीर विशताम तमिश्रामि पुनः पुनः चार्वित चार्वनानाम मतीर्ण कृष्णे परतम सुतोवा. These kind of individuals who are so much bound up in the illusory network of this world, they cannot become Krishna conscious. They cannot develop transcendental God consciousness by their own efforts, by hearing from others, or by having joint conferences and meetings. It is not possible for them because they have made up their mind that they are going to try to enjoy this material world, which is nothing but charvita charvananam, that they are constantly trying to chew something that has already been chewed. Just like in India, there is sugarcane juicers. They take sugarcane and they push it through one machine. As they're pushing it through the machine, all the juice is squeezed out of the sugarcane. Then they push it through again and again until it comes out like as if it's almost like cardboard. So someone comes along and he grabs that, he starts chewing on it. He'll get no juice, no sweetness. So Prahlad Maharaj said, the persons in this material world, Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram, they have uncontrolled senses. Their senses are unbridled and uncontrolled, and they're constantly trying to enjoy sense gratification, but it is nothing like chewing, it is nothing but chewing the chewed. There is no possibility of enjoyment with the temporary material senses of this world. Only for a split moment, there is some illusory happiness, and then it is gone. So then Prahlad Maharaj told his father, Father, what is the actual process by which someone can overcome this challenge of this gross material existence and attain the benediction of spiritual awareness that they can become totally Krishna conscious, God conscious? Then he told them, Naisham Matistava Urukramangre Spritya Prishyat Yanarto Upagamam Yanartaha Mahiyasam Padra Jo Vishekam Nishkim Shinanam Navranita Yama. He said, my dear father, for such persons, there is no other way that they will be able to overcome all these anarthas, all these unwanted material attachments to this material world. There is only one process, and that is to come under the guidance of a Niskinchan Vaishnava, a pure devotee of Krishna, a Mahat, someone who is transcendentally situated above all these allurements of this world, and he is perfectly controlled and surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And when that person comes under the control and he takes the dust from the lotus feet of such a pure devotee of Krishna and he bathes his whole body in this foot dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, then at that time he will be able to become Krishna conscious, God conscious. So.
गौरचंदय राधिकाय काले कृष्णाय कृष्ण वार्ताय तद्वार्ताय नमो नमः. पंचतत्वकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्य रूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्तत्वं नमामि भक्तिशक्ति. So first of all, I offer obeisances to the Guru Pada Padma, Vishnu Pada, Jivani Swami, Sri Srimad, Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj, Jivani Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, thank you for coming. Of course, when good instruction is offered to a fool, then it's not accepted. But still, Prahlad Maharaj is so kind, still he gave instruction. Sri Saraswati Thakur said, imagine there is one man on a roof and he is playing with a kite. And he is walking backwards and he's about to fall off the edge. Then some kind person who is on the ground, stop sir, stop! And that man, hey, mind your own damn business. That man may become angry even though that person tried to help. So Prahlad Maharaj is so kind, even though his father took offense and became angry still, Prahlad Maharaj never hesitated to speak the truth. Sri Saraswati Thakur said, if I become, like we should follow the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj never thinking, if I follow my father, I'll get his inheritance. If I follow my father, then I'll get so many material facility. But Prahlad Maharaj spoke the truth as it is before Prahlad Maharaj Kijaya. Otherwise, who can speak like that? Only someone who is completely niskinchan, who has no self-interest, only a person like Prahlad Maharaj can give that type of instruction. Of course, Rani Kasapu was not very much happy by the instructions of Prahlad. Became very much infuriated. You think you're better at controlling my your senses than me? I also have guru, I'm also this, I'm also that. So he became, and he ordered Prahlad to be killed. And one, Krishna Raka Marake, Krishna Madarake. One who is protected by Krishna, and who can kill him? No one can kill him. Then Prahlad, he never prayed to Bhagavan for, to Krishna for protection. Only he simply remembered him. The demons came and tried to pierce his body with different types of weapons. They offered him poison, and Prahlad offered that poison to the Lord and took that as nectar, as Chanamrita, as Mahaprasad. He was unaffected. They threw him in pits of snakes, under the feet of elephants. They threw him from the top of cliffs. They tried to starve him to death. They tried to boil him in oil. They left him out in the snow. But Prahlad Maharaj always remembered the Lord. He was completely unaffected. Because Prahlad Maharaj has a spiritual body, not a material body. So when Hiranyakasipu saw that all his efforts to harm Prahlad were completely ineffectual, he became very morose. At that time, the two gurus of Prahlad Maharaj, the sons of Sri Sukracharya, Samda and Amarka. Amarka means, Arka means sun, Amarka. Where there's no sun, that means blind, like ulu, like an owl. And Samda means a bull, because bull is expert at two activities. Three, eating, having sex, and passing long jets of stool. Samda and Amarka. Therefore they said to their guru, oh, don't worry, Maharaj. Your son is like a green piece of bamboo. He's very young. Therefore we can make him into any shape. Only he's a bacha, so send him back to school. So he went back to Gurukul. And the teacher's son and Martha tried very hard to instruct him on different types of material education. Isn't it Asura Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj used to say that current education system is nothing but a slaughterhouse. Because what they're learning there? Nothing. Useless. At the time of death, their so-called knowledge is only to eat at future parties at the end of the day. But at the time of death, their knowledge cannot help them one drop. Therefore, Sandana Martha tried very hard to instruct him on different types of materialistic education. But Prahlad Maharaj was an expert cheater. Only, yes, yes. But no, he never took any of the instructions to his heart. One day the teacher, son of Martha, said, oh, Prahlad, we have to go. You can look after the rest of the students like a monitor. So when the cats are away, the mice will play. As soon as Sandra and Amarka left, then the children began restless. They began to fly paper airplanes. They began to wrestle and fight. Prahlad, come and play. Prahlad said, no. This human life is very rare. It's meant for bhajan. The boys said, but we can do bhajan when we're old. When our teeth are in the glass and hurry on, hurry on. But at old age, when we've finished with enjoyment and there's nothing left, then we'll do Hari Ram, Hari Krishna. But now we're young. Youth is meant for enjoyment. But Prahlad Maharaj instructed, no. This life, even though it appears very long, it's kamala dala dala, kamala dala dala, jivana talama. Like a drop of water on a lotus leaf can drop any time. Yesterday I heard one young girl, very young, only 18, but they found one brain tumor there, 18 years old. So any time, death can come. So Prahlad said, even though everyone lives for maximum 100 years, but who lives for 100 years even now? You go in the graveyard, actually most people are popping the coffin about 60 or 65. Very rare to find some old person. But just say for argument's sake, we live for 100 years. Then 50 years is lost in sleep. Some of us even more. 12 hours a day sleeping. Especially those persons who work very hard. So much they're tired, they can't watch the television, then sleeping. 10 hours, 12 hours. So out of 100 years lifespan, 50 years is lost to the pillow. 50 years are left. Amongst those 50 years, the first 10 years of childhood, not doing anything, only drinking milk and passing in the nappy. Cannot do anything. The years of 10 to 20 years are lost through childhood, sports, going to school, doing homework. Then 20 years lost from, isn't it? So 30 years left, but years of 80 to 100, what can you do? Senses are completely finished. You cannot walk, you cannot think. Many types of diseases afflict the body. That's how you can do bhajan. to last from 80 to 100 years, those 20 years are also lost. Then how much is left? 10 years. And Guruji says, in those 10 years, you have to become expert in a business, you have to marry, most people will marry, have children, raise their children, and where's the time left for Hari Bhajan? So Prahlad Maharaj gave many, many wonderful instructions to those sons of the demons. Also he says, Guru Susu Saya Bhakta Sava Labda Panena Cha Sadhana Sangena Sarva Bhakta Nam Iswarayana Nena Cha. So Bhajan begins Guru Susu Saya Bhakta. Guru Bhajan begins with first surrendering to the feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Sava Labda Panena Cha. And everything you have you must offer to him. Is that not one for Guru, one for me, one for Guru? Everything we have must offer to the spiritual master. But the most valuable thing that we have, what's the most valuable thing? Don't think if I give a big check to the spiritual master, he may be pleased. If I give some real estate, he'll be pleased. He has not come for these things. Therefore, we should give the most precious thing we have. What is that? Our independence. You may give everything to the spiritual master, but unless you give your independence to him, he is not satisfied with you. Like Sri Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj offered everything he had. Actually, Bhagavan stole it off him. And the whole universe he offered the Lord, and the Lord said, you cheated me. You promised 3 steps, but you have not given the 3rd step. Then Bali Maharaj was very, I am so foolish. I gave everything, but I never gave myself. Every step of the Lord. 3rd step you can put on my head means I offer myself completely to you. Therefore, that teaching is there. Only offering of so-called wealth or so-called service to the spiritual master is not sufficient. One must offer oneself completely. Sava, love, dharma, and energy. And what will the Guru give you in return? He'll teach you the importance of the association of devotees. Iswara, arana, energy. And in the association of Guru and the devotees, the Vaishnava, as you'll learn, Iswara, arana, energy. The proper process of how to worship Radha Krishna. Beginning with first Shravan and Kirtan, the hearing and chanting of the glories of the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna. Then the boy said, well, Prahlad, how we can begin? Then Prahlad began Nam Sankirtan. All the boys began chanting the holy name. Everyone was very happy except for Harani Kasipu. He became infuriated. You are like a disease. You're like a disease to my family. Actually, you're a disgrace to my family. Just like a forest of sandalwood. You are like a thorn tree growing in a forest of sandalwood. Sometimes materialistic persons think like this. There was one boy in the Philippines. He became chanting Harinam, shaved his head. When his father heard that he'd given up meat eating, his father took a gun to his head and said, give up this, Harinam, Harinam. The boy said, no. And the father chained him to the bed for 6 weeks, still he would not eat. And finally the father was weeping, you're a disgrace to my family. You know what the father did for a job? He was a drug dealer. So Rani Kasapu was thinking, you are also a disgrace to my family. How I will finish you? He became very sad. His power is unlimited. He challenged Prahlad. Oh Prahlad, where do you get your strength from? Where do you get your power from? Prahlad Maharaj said, the same place you do, father. The same place that all living entities get their strength, intelligence, power, and everything from, the Supreme Person, Vishnu. Then Hrani Kashyapu said, you're always talking about an all-pervading, Supreme Person, but I cannot see him anywhere. Plus, maybe you should change your glasses, Father. You cannot see the Lord by material vision. Ramanjana Churupaya Bhakti Valochanena Sandasa Deva Vidyasuridokidanti. Yatshama Sundana Machintya Guna Surupam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. One cannot see the Lord by material wealth, or by very beautiful form, or by material education, or birth in a high family, or by much, much knowledge of the scripture. One can see the Supreme Lord only by the mercy of the spiritual master, by Narad Muni. The spiritual master gives us what? Pramanjana Chirupya. He gives us that vision by which one can see the Supreme Lord everywhere. Hrani Kashyapu said, I cannot see this Vishnu anywhere. You're always talking about him. Where is he? Oh, Father, he is all pervading inside everything. Like butter is inside milk, but you have to churn it. Only if you're qualified, you can see the Lord. Is he in this pillar?